G'day folks, welcome to a Friday evening, a very cold Friday evening for October. Actually, it was about 12 degrees this morning, which is unusual for this time of year, and really windy. We had a really cold westerly came through, and it was so loud we could hear it inside the building at work. And normally it's like most office buildings, the Martians could land outside and you wouldn't know. The wind seems to have dropped, though, now, which is nice. So that was a good test for my antennas, which both have stayed up. The one that Ben helped me put up last Saturday, I wasn't overly worried about. I knew that was pretty stable, but I wasn't quite sure about the other one because it's just tied to the fence with a bunch of truckies knots. And that was, talking of antennas, sort of wanted to do a little bit of a boo on amateur radio, and a particular radio, especially because I thought it might be of interest to some people. For about a month ago, I did a boo on the fact that I had the HF amateur radio set up, the ICOM IC718, which has a voice announce module, and I'm using a G5RV type antenna with that. And that, basically, to describe the antenna, is I've got a couple of steel or a couple of pieces of steel, I think they're 6 meters long, tied to the fence, and in between those I have two lengths of copper wire, and joining those two bits of copper wire is basically a piece of ladder line which goes down to some coax which goes into the back of the radio. So I had the HF side of things sorted, but for VHF and UHF, or 2 metres, 70 centimetres as it's more commonly known, I had a little Chinese handheld made by Ocean, although in this country it's commonly pronounced Woxun, or Wuxun, because it's spelled W-O-U-X-U-N. I don't know how you get Ocean out of that, but anyway, I'm told that that is the correct pronunciation. According to Blind Drummer anyway. And Ace United did see it on another website as well. It's definitely supposed to be pronounced Ocean. Anyway, I digress. I had a little handheld, a KG-UVD-1P, which is quite a nice little radio, but the problem is that because of the structure of the house here, I had to kind of go out into the middle of the yard if I wanted to talk to anybody. Tried putting a bigger antenna on it, and that did help a little bit, but it still wasn't terrific. I don't know why. I think it might be because we've got some high-voltage power lines associated with the train not too far away, and that they may put out some interference. It may also be because the house is metal-framed, I believe, rather than being timber. But whatever it is, it's like a Faraday cage. Even mobile phone reception for some carriers is non-existent in the house here. So anyway, I decided it was a good idea to purchase something else. And I didn't have a huge amount of money to throw at it. And because I was quite happy with the Ocean KG-UVD-1P, I thought I would try their newly released mobile radio, which is a KG-UV-920R. It had voice announce, which very few other radios in the 2 meter, 70 centimeter sort of dual band range had. So I thought that would actually be good. As it happens, though, the voice announce isn't particularly good. It doesn't tell you very much. It's not as comprehensive as the voice announce on the handheld, and I will talk about that more in a minute. So anyway, I decided to pick one of these up. I managed to get it for a little bit cheaper than the retail price because it had been a demo unit, so I saved myself $100 there. And I picked up an antenna, a 2 meter, 70 centimeter antenna. It's basically a fiberglass stick, about 1.4, actually might be 2 meters long, with three radials sticking out the bottom. And I've got that mounted. Ben came over last weekend and helped me mount that, or mounted that for me on the roof. I've got a collar type thing, which has two legs attached to it, and you take two of the roof screws out and put them through the legs, and then put the roof screws back in. And then there's a 10-foot long pole, and the antenna's on top of that. So the antenna's about 10 feet off the roof. So we got the radio in last Saturday, got the antenna mounted, got it all plugged in. And I've spent a bit of time this week when I had a spare minute trying to learn how to drive the radio. I did some preliminary testing with our club. We have a net on 2 meters on a Monday night, and it was performing quite well. More than happy with it, but just trying to figure out the interface was a bit interesting, because the manual is written in sort of broken English, or Chinglish, as some people call it. The radio is, just to sort of give you a little bit of an idea of what it's like and what it does, it's a mobile type radio, so it's designed to be mounted in a car, although I've just got it on the desk here plugged into a 13.8 volt power supply. It does have a remote head option, so if you, for instance, were mounting it in a car and you wanted to put the transceiver in the boot and just have the front panel mounted in the dash, you can do that. But I've just left it all attached. It has two speakers, two volume controls, because it's got two VFOs. What that means for non-amateur enthusiasts is that it's basically two receivers in the one box, so you can have it monitor two different frequencies at once. So if your club has two repeaters, as ours does, you can monitor both. I normally turn that off, though, because sometimes it can be a bit hard to know which frequency you're actually transmitting on or which repeater you've heard, so I tend to turn that function off. It has a rotary selector dial on the left-hand side at the front of the radio, a series of buttons along the front panel, and then your two volume knobs, sort of one behind the other. The squelch, unfortunately, isn't a knob, it's controlled by the buttons. On the back of the radio, you've got a fan vent, an SO239 type socket for your antenna, and I think a socket for an external speaker. The microphone plugs into the front of the radio using an RJ45 type socket, so like your standard network cable type socket. And that confused me a little bit, because when I got the programming lead, which allows you to program the radio from your computer, it had the same socket, and I assumed that the programming lead went into the mic socket, and after fiddling around for about 3/4 of an hour, we discovered that there's actually another programming port on the side of the radio that's hidden behind a silly little rubber grommet. And it's an RJ45 as well, so so once we got that sorted, we were able to actually program the thing. It comes with a DTMF type handheld mic, so it has a normal telephone keypad on the mic itself. It also has a speaker in the back of the microphone, which you can use, although I don't. You can operate most of the functions and things from the keypad on the mic, really just except power on and volume. And I do find that's an easier way to operate it than using the rotary sort of channels selector or frequency selector. That selector is probably the weak point in the radio. It's a bit jumpy, so sometimes you think you've turned it one click and it's jumped, you know, three or four, and it is a known issue with them. So that's sort of a physical description of it. The voice announce, as I said, I was a little bit disappointed with, because it doesn't tell you, like, if you click the rotary channel selector, I'll just show you. So I've turned that for, you know, three or four clicks, and it didn't announce anything, whereas the handheld radios, when you click the rotary selector, it'll say channel 1, channel 2, and so on. You can get around it, though, by selecting your channel on the mic. Now, if you press the 2 key on the mic, it doesn't prompt you for a channel, but it will announce the numbers as you press them. So if I go So if it's 001 and that's taken me to the channel memory 1, which is our local club repeater, it has the sort of, very Asian-sounding voice. Some of the functions speak, like it will tell you if you're in channel mode or VFO mode. Like that. So the difference, of course, there, frequency mode just allows you to type in a frequency on the keypad and listen to it. Channel mode, you use that for repeaters where you want to transmit on one frequency and receive on another. So I was a little bit disappointed with that aspect of it. Also, as I said, can be programmed from a computer, but the software leaves a bit to be desired as well. Now, in the version of the software that I actually got with the radio, it expects or saves files, or allegedly saves them anyway, in Excel 2003 format, so .xls. Problem is that the file save function doesn't actually work for some weird reason. The good thing about that, though, is you can actually create the document in Excel and set all of the menu options in an Excel spreadsheet, provided you keep to the right format, and then you can just open the Excel spreadsheet in the software that came with the radio and just use the software to write to the radio. That works fairly well, and Steph Rockhell very generously did up a little macro for me for the spreadsheet that forces the data to be in the right format, because you've got to have the cells formatted as text, even the numeric ones, and you have to have an apostrophe at the beginning of each cell, and when you're typing stuff in, it's easy to forget that. So Steph did me a nice little macro that formats it all for me. So thank you, Steph. I was fiddling around with it for hours trying to in-format individual cells and things. They did bring out, and I got hold of earlier in the week, a updated version of the software, which does allow you to save to disk. Trouble with it is it saves in a .kg format, which only that software reads. So I've gone back to the original one that uses XLS files, and I'm just doing all of the work in Excel. So the spreadsheet gives you, there's two worksheets. One has all of the frequencies in. It has 999 memory channels, so if you can pre-program things into it. And then the other one has all of the menu options, so whether you want the voice on or off, whether you want the Roger beep on or off, whether you want keypad beeps on or off, that sort of stuff. So in that sense, it's quite nice. The software itself, you've got to use the JAWS cursor a fair bit to get to things. Even the, like doing normal, like Alt-F to get to the file menu, for instance, they don't speak. So you have to JAWS cursor around and then click on things. So it's not the most elegant solution, and it's certainly not as nice as the KGUV commander that they wrote for the handhelds. Although that's a third-party thing written by Jim Mitchell, I think. It's the software still leaves a lot to be desired, and a lot of the prompts are, again, sort of not written in very good English. All of that aside, though, I've got to say I'm quite happy with it. Range-wise, it's quite good. Power-wise, it's quite good. It's 50 watts, up to 50 watts on 2 meters VHF, and 40 watts on UHF, as opposed to 5 watts and 4 watts, which I had on the handheld. It's got, you know, lots of memories, lots of features. You can even do cross-band repeater, so you can have it transmit on UHF and receive on VHF and things like that. The audio quality on the radio itself is quite good. Nice and clear and nice and loud and that sort of thing. And the way the front panel is designed, you can either have it sort of flush with the front of the radio, or you can have it tilted up on an angle, which makes it nice if you've got it sitting on the desk. So the overall design of the thing's quite good. I think it's just let down by a less than ideal speech interface and a not very good software. But then it's pretty cheap. I mean, I picked up the radio with a 12-month warranty and everything for $300. So quite a bit cheaper than a Yaesu or a Kenwood or a Icom or something like that. Normally, if you buy them out of China, they're fully open. So they'll do 138, I think, 274 megs on VHF and 400 to 480. This one, because it came from an Australian dealer, the VFO's been locked down a bit, so you can only use it in the amateur bands. So I can't, for instance, tweak it to work on UHF-CB, which you're not legally supposed to do, but I was kind of hoping I could. So if I can find some unlock software, I might have a go at that at some stage. But overall, my impressions of it are fairly reasonable for the price. It is built to a price, but for an amateur radio licensee that's sort of just starting out, it's certainly not a bad starting point. And from my point of view, it's a big improvement on the handheld. You know, I can get, using repeaters, I can get all over Brisbane and out to Ipswich and up the Sunshine Coast. And I can use IRLP, which is the Internet Radio Linking Project, to talk to some old friends up in Rocky as well. It basically uses voice over IP to link radios. It does everything that I need it to do. It's just taken me a while to get around the idiosyncrasies of its software and its dodgy manual. It didn't help that I only had a scanned copy of the manual, like a scanned PDF, which I then had to run through DocuScan. If I can get an official electronic copy of the manual, it might be a little bit better. If you have any questions, feel free to send me an email, damian.mcmorrow@me.com, or you can just send me an Audioboo message if you want to know more about the radio or about amateur radio in general. Just finally, and not really related, but I'll throw it in here anyway, somebody was asking, I believe earlier in the week, how we use Audioboo. And for me, I tend to use it like an audio version of YouTube. In fact, as soon as I found it, that's what I sort of, I thought, oh, it'd be really good for that. Also use it for recording, you know, if we go places, you know, as a way of, or the equivalent of, you know, posting photos and things like that, and we'll post some audio from wherever we are. But mostly I use it for just demos and sort of rants and ramblings and things. I'm the sort of person that prefers to talk rather than write a journal or a blog on something like LiveJournal. So Audioboo kind of suits me because I can ramble on and sort of do my thing. Also, it's a bit hard to demonstrate things like a smoker oven. In LiveJournal, you really need that audio element to it. So that's what I use it for. I do think it's a bit pricey. It's £60 a year with the exchange rate, and I think other people have mentioned that. I know Darren has. I agree with that. I think it would be good if it was a little bit cheaper. Having said that, though, and having had it now for a couple of months, if it comes to renewing it, unless I've lost my job and gone broke, I'll probably do it, I would think, because I do like the service and I do like not being limited to the 5-minute posting time. Talking of which, I have probably waffled on for way too long, and if you're not into radios, I probably lost you ages ago, so I apologise for that. But as I said, if you have any questions about the radio, you know, I would still recommend them. Oh, there we go. Talking of which, if you have any questions or anything like that, feel free to flick me a message. Okay, that's it. Have a wonderful weekend all, and I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.